Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of dog ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs.
Today, I am with Kaylin, who is from GTS Husky, who is a rescue group here in Florida, taking care of a lot of huskies.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us on your podcast. We're so excited about it. So how did GTS start?
So GTS started because our founder lost her three dogs in 1 year, Geisha, Tundra, and Spirit, all to like very insane, like rare cancers. So that was her pack, and it really, you know, put her into like a depression. And she was like, what can I do in their honor to keep their legacy still living? So that's why we started GTS Husky Rescue. It stands for Geisha, Tundra, and Spirit's Place. That's our 501c official name. But yeah, so basically our mission is to save huskies from kill shelters on the euthanization list, owner surrender, strays. There's a big need for them because a lot of people get these, you know, get this breed for their looks, their blue eyes, and they don't realize that they require a lot of exercise, a lot of mental stimulation, and they need a lot of attention. This isn't a dog you can put in a crate and go to work for 10 hours a day, which unfortunately a lot of people end up doing.
I think every dog.
Yeah.
No dog should live like that.
No. So we're very strong about having people do their research before getting into any breed. That's why our application process is pretty thorough. We do a vet reference first to make sure that adopters kept up with annual vaccines, heartworm preventative, and basically everything the dogs need. And then once the vet reference checks, we do a phone interview and I go over key points of husky behavior. All the huskies are different. So I go over every single characteristic they could have, even though they might not all have them.
Right.
So there's no surprises. And then I go through a list of questions about the home environment after the educational point. And if the home environment matches the style, then we do a home check. As long as people typically have a 6-foot fence. Some of our, you know, non-escape artist huskies can go with shorter fences, but we do the home check to make sure they're husky-proof, they can't get out, because a lot of these dogs are found as strays because they get out on their owners, they run away, they don't have good recall, so if you chase them, they really won't come back. Their dogs and their family come for a meet and greet. If the dogs get along well, then we send the dogs home and we can save another. We used to have a husky ranch, now we're foster-based only. That transition happened maybe about 3 years ago after 2020.
Wow. COVID?
COVID funds weren't coming in. The ranch upkeep was crazy to keep up with financially. And then we've kind of realized too is the huskies don't really do well in kennel environments anyway. They flourish in homes. So we started doing foster-based. A little small, we always could use our fosters. So if anyone is interested, you can go to our website and apply.
Yeah.
We do events. And I think the dogs are happier in foster homes anyway because they get on a routine, they get a lot of attention. If the dogs are guarding or there's any like aggression issues, we know about it. Whereas the ranch, it was kennels outside. So we really weren't sure how the dogs were in the home environment. So this way, the foster base kind of sets the adopters up for success. And it's an easy transition for all. So that's, we can't do as many numbers. You know, we can't take in 20, 30 dogs at a time. We can only take a dog when we have a foster space. But we're doing the best we can, still saving a good amount of dogs for the small, you know, limited fosters we have.
Right. What is the difference between a dog that's in a rescue as opposed to a dog that's in a shelter?
That's in a shelter?
Yeah.
Okay, so when a dog comes to a shelter, they usually need a lot of decompressing. They're super anxiety stressed because they've been locked away for God knows how long.
Yeah.
With a rescue, they're already in a home environment. They're already on a routine. So as long as you kind of keep them on the same routine, of course, there is still an adjustment period. Yeah. We tell everyone, it's not lollipops and rainbows. The first 24 hours hard. They're anxious. They're in a new place. They sometimes think, you know, where they were last was their forever home. These dogs have been bounced around so much. So it really takes about 2 weeks to sometimes 3 months, depending on, you know, how much trauma the dog has. But basically a rescue, fully vets, if you get from a shelter, there'll be a lot of unknown diagnoses of the dogs. We get them checked out thoroughly to make sure that they're completely healthy before going to a forever
home. There's no surprises.
Yeah. No surprises. We get a lot of dogs in that were heartworm positive. That's why we're very strict on heartworm preventative. If people aren't consistent with heartworm preventative, it's an automatic fail. Even if they go, oh, I'll buy it now, keep my dog on it, absolutely not. If you haven't done that previously, it doesn't show a commitment. We save a lot of heartworm positive dogs, and the treatment's really nasty.
It's
expensive, and it can be deadly depending on how severe the heartworms are. So it's a really serious thing in Florida. the dogs get it through a mosquito bite, which obviously we have all year round. So that's what's really important to us. We have a heartworm positive dog right now going through treatment. We have a couple dogs that, you know, going through behavioral training as well, because if they've been bounced around, like our Pomsky tank was rehomed 6 times, and then the last owner dumped him at a dog park, so he was on the streets for a couple weeks. And he has a little possessiveness. We're working with a trainer on that. But basically, he was just super high anxiety going into a new home.
Right.
He's been abandoned and so they disposed have, like, so many times.
Trust issues.
Yes, absolutely. Some shelter dogs that have just been through one home, sometimes, you know, not as bad as you think. Like, they could transition a lot quicker than the dogs that have more trauma.
What would you say to a dog person about your rescue and how they could help other rescues?
Yes, so you can help rescues by fostering. It's huge. We provide all of the food, heartworm preventative, crate, anything you might need to foster, we provide all of it. Of course, we take care of any type of medical expenses as well. If you can't foster, you can volunteer at events. We have a handful of events going on during the cooler season. So we love to have hands with volunteers. You could always be a volunteer transporter. Sometimes I need help getting a dog out of a shelter to our foster home, or a dog to a vet appointment for the fosters. And then, of course, donations. We're 100% volunteer-based. No one gets paid in our organization, so we really run off donations. You know, one medical dog, Bolt, like, had a spine fracture. His expense was $15,000. So if they need any type of surgery, it's anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000, typically. Heartworm treatments, anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000. So when dogs have these issues, you know, we really can't save medical dogs and can't save behavioral dogs that need to go to training without the community's help and donations.
Yeah.
Of course, sharing, following all of our social medias. We're GTS Husky Rescue on Instagram. And on Facebook, we're Geisha, G-A-I-S-H-A, Tundra, T-U-N-D-R-A, and Spirit's Place on Facebook. You can see all of our fundraisers there. You can check up all of our events. I put all of our events on our event page on our Facebook. And, of course, our website is gtshuskyrescue.com.
It is a very breed-specific rescue.
Yes.
So what would you say to someone that is like, well, why not save all the dogs?
So we're breed-specific because the passion of our founder is with this specific breed. And actually, huskies have an alarming rate of abandonment. I can't even keep up with how many need to be saved. I can count at least 5 at our local shelter, 10 at Miami-Dade, 10 at Broward. And on top of it, they're always being abandoned on the street. So I'd say we get around 10 odor surrenders a week. I can't keep up with the demand of how much want to come in. You know, a lot of people think it could be because of Game of Thrones as well. The husky breed really boomed, kind of like 101 Dalmatians. Everyone got Dalmatians after. And there's a lot of backyard breeders here in Florida, which the community isn't good at delegating and finding them. So if people are keep breeding, a lot of people get these puppies. And they're pretty easy as puppies to 6 months. But that 6 to 10 month to 12 month stage is when they're tears. They need a lot of exercise, mental stimulation, and attention. And if not, they're going to be destructive of your house. They're going to tear up your couch.
They need their needs fulfilled.
Yeah, they need mental stimulation. Basically, you can have puzzle toys are a good way to give them some mental stimulation on rainy days. So there's a lot of outlets that they can, you know, people can use. But I would like to say it's pure laziness when people just give up their dogs.
Right.
They just don't want to put the work in.
Exactly.
And they're stubborn dogs. So they can be trained, but you have to be very strong, stern, alpha-oriented with them. Or else they could take advantage, and that's when they start gaining guarding issues, is when one home let them do it when they were puppies. And then if you don't correct that behavior right away, then they learn, okay, if I do this, I'm gonna get away with something. So that's where we see a lot of the guarding comes from, is from people not correcting it when they're younger. So a lot of, I would say this breed is not for first-time dog owners.
Right.
Never had a dog before, don't get a husky. Start with something simpler, like a lab, a golden, something that has a little bit more obedience.
Right.
If you're active, you're runners, you love to go to the dog park, you love to go on long walks, then this is the breed for you. But if you're not, you don't have an active lifestyle, they're not going to do well in a home like that.
You talked about the legislation. So, like, people abandoning dogs, it's a big problem, I think, everywhere, but now, like, it's even more.
Yes. So after the COVID boom, everyone got COVID puppies, and now that people are going back to work, or the biggest excuse is, I'm moving, I can't take my dog with me, which is, you know, ridiculous. I don't know why anyone would move somewhere where they can't take their dog.
Well, I just think, like, they're part of your family.
Like,
I just
a lot of people, they're disposable to a lot of people. And then especially since Huskies are a lot of work, a lot of people get emotionally drained and don't want to put in the work, the training, to make them the best dogs they can be. Yeah, the legislation, I know the county is doing everything they can. They're definitely fining people if dogs are in poor conditions. Yeah, in Palm Beach County.
In Palm Beach, okay.
In Miami-Dade as well, if you see a backyard breeder.
Yeah, you're supposed to call 311
Yeah, if you see a backyard breeder selling puppies on a pickup truck, they will actually give you a reward if you report them. So they are doing everything they can, but what's hard is that these shelters are so full that they're not confiscating dogs unless there's severe abuse and neglect because they have no room. They're euthanizing for space. I actually know Palm Beach Animal Control is doubling up their kennels. So if a dog isn't good with other dogs, unfortunately, they're going to be put on the youth list because they just don't have the space. They have to put them in two kennels, you know, two or three dogs in one kennel. So that's how bad everything's been lately. It's just, it's overwhelming the demand of dogs that need to be saved.
Right.
Spay and neuter laws are in place in Palm Beach County, but unfortunately, the fines are cheaper than spaying or neutering your dog sometimes. So that's also another problem.
Right.
My one volunteer is trying to work with Florida legislation to get some change. Maybe if you report a dog and they get $2,000 in fine, you get $500 from that fine. So I know one of my volunteers is going to try to see if, you know, we can create an incentive legislation for reporting abuse, reporting these backyard breeders. And so they actually do something about it.
Hello, Husky.
Thank you.
Got those pretty eyes.
Yeah, she's up for adoption.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you want to take a card?
Oh.
That's our card. We got tons. We got puppies, too.
Oh.
Yeah. And Bella here is actually going to be put to sleep at our local animal shelter. I pulled her two days before she was going to be euthanized. So Bella actually got out on her owner in May.
Uh-huh.
They returned her to the owner, and they found her next to a cat that was bleeding. But there was no puncture wounds to the cat. There was no blood on her. So there was no proof that she killed or hurt this cat. But so then after that incident, she was labeled a dog of concern. Flash forward 3 months, she got out again. Owner got called. Oh, I don't want my dog back because my landlord took my fence down. Knowingly, she's a dog of a concern, and they gave her 3 days to put her to sleep if someone wasn't going to pull her because she could not be put out on the adoption floor because of that incident. So these owners are knowing that their dog could be put to sleep and
they don't care.
Yeah, so that's how unfortunate Florida can be.
I truly believe that, like, if there were more heavier
laws
that it would help.
Unfortunately, the county people I work with said the judges they have so much going on, they don't want these cases. So it has to be something changed in the judges in Florida to make this more serious, more serious crime, you know? I think, you know, they're just so busy with human stuff, they don't really, push all this under the rug.
Exactly.
There has to be, like, video of severe abuse for that person to be fined, or the dog has to be extremely emaciated. But unfortunately, there's been dogs prior that clear signs of abuse.
Right.
And they just don't do much about it.
How long have you guys had her?
Bella, only 2 weeks.
Oh,
She's in foster. I'm not her foster. She's in foster with two other male huskies. Does amazing. Crate trained, potty trained. Sweet dog who was sharing toys. She's not aggressive at all. But obviously, for reasons, we cannot home her with cats. Just safe
right,
side.
Right, right.
But yeah, we've had Bella for 2 weeks. We saved a couple other dogs on the youth liaison list. Petunia, I have her with our trainer right now. She just got her heartworm injections. So she was on the euthanization list for heartworm disease. Because at our local shelters, they're so full. If there's anything medical that they can't handle, they'll put them on the euthanization list. So Petunia is getting her heartworm treatment. She's also a little bit spicy.
Uh-huh.
So I have her with our trainer. She has a little bit of guarding issues.
Uh-huh.
She's only 32 pounds and so little.
Oh, she's a petite.
She is a petite little girl. Definitely needs a strong owner that's going to continue the training. But our training comes with a lifetime guarantee, free lessons, and our trainer is always there for support.
Right.
So she was another one on the euthanization list. Sugar, who got adopted, who might be coming here today, was on the euthanization list just for being scared and shutting down at the shelter. Dog-friendly, people-friendly.
But that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's
how I'm trying to tell people, like, whatever you do, do not surrender your dog at a shelter.
Right.
Go through an animal rescue. See if someone can hold him until animal rescue can take him in. Because if your dog has any minor issues,
Right. Well, even the stress, just stress alone.
Yeah. And I tell people, oh, you know, my dog's sad. I can't give it enough attention. Well, that's better than sitting in a kill shelter where they get zero attention and they shut down. So, you know, there's Rover, there's all these resources that you can do a $20 dog walk, two dog walks a day if you're working. Mm-hmm. There's doggy daycares. So there's definitely other outlets people can use, but I'd say a lot of people just use all the excuses in the book to get rid of their dogs.
Right. So if a Husky owner wants to give up their dog, they should contact you?
Yes, we do. Yeah. I would say I'm really focusing on shelter dogs right now because they're being euthanized a lot. So I am on a large wait list for owner surrenders. But I tell people, if you can hold your dog and you give me a deadline, I can definitely find a foster. But my main focus has been really the shelters are just so overwhelmed right now that, you know, I'd rather help a shelter dog. Of course, we take owner surrenders as well, but they're not top of my priority because they're not, you know, they're not at risk of being put to sleep right now.
Correct, yeah.
But if anyone is ever at that point, whether you're at the end, you're about to bring it, you know, bring the dog to the shelter, send us a DM, let us know how urgent the situation is, and I can either put the dog in temporary boarding and, you know, find a foster for the dog as, you know, as quickly as I possibly can.
I mean, it's heartbreaking what humans do, you know?
I've seen it all. Sugar was from a huge abuse case. Actually, her and 16 other dogs were confiscated from Palm Beach County, so it had to be very bad to be confiscated. All the dogs got transferred to other rescues like Peggy Adams, Furry Friends. They're all adopted. Some people adopted the dogs right from the shelter. They're definitely super skittish, not great with people, not socialized. But with time, they're growing into such great dogs. So it really just takes a lot of time and patience for dogs that have been through a lot of trauma.
Right. No, and like taking them to a kill shelter, like you were saying, they shut down.
Yeah. I mean, the shelter, if you go yourself, it's not pleasant. Dogs are barking. It's smelly. Volunteers really work hard to bathe the dogs, give the dogs attention. But there's only so much they can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they're getting like 50 dogs like almost a day. It's 50 to 100 dogs a week. So there's a big crisis going on in Florida.
And what do you think could change that? Like, would it be... I mean, it's a difficult thing, right? Because I spoke to...
I think if there was shut down puppy stores, I can't believe puppy stores are still open. That's basically supporting puppy mills. Mm-hmm. So shut down all the puppy stores. I would love there to be a legislation law to ban puppy stores like there is up north.
Yeah.
Basically, a more regulation on backyard breeders and breeders, period. A lot of these people, like I would be running my Huskies in West Palm and someone pull over, you want to breed your dog? I have a male. No.
Right.
And it's people like that have...
No, and people... Oh, my God.
They have no idea about genetic health testing. Like, reputable breeders do health testing, genetic testing, to make sure that these dogs aren't going to have hereditary issues, so they don't breed them if they do have that.
Right.
So, I feel like if backyard breeders were fined, charged, and actually put in jail for neglect, and animal abusers were harshly punished, then I think the cycle would break. But sadly, they're not, there's maybe $200 or $300 fine is the worst of it. And with these backyard breeders making thousands, it's nothing for them.
And then the other thing is, if you purchase a dog from a preservation breeder, it's going to cost you a lot of money. But that dog has, genetics is as good as you're going to get. But if there's any problem, like if you can't take care of that dog, they're going to take it back.
Yeah, reputable breeders will take their dogs back.
And I know you guys do too.
We absolutely do. We actually microchip our dogs for life to us. We don't transfer it to the owner. So I tell everyone, if your dog, you know, you adopt a dog from us and it gets out, call me, because if it gets picked up at a shelter, I'm going to be the one to know. Of course, if it happens once, not a big deal. Yeah. But if your dog's getting out 6 times in a month, I'm going to take your dog back because you're not a responsible owner.
Yeah.
So we microchip the dogs to us for life because no matter how long it's been, we want our dogs back. Our poor senior guy, Mace, was adopted out 8 years ago at 8 months old. I just got him back last year at 9. And the only reason is because he was confiscated from a different rescue who neglected all their dogs. 5 of them died due to dehydration and malnourishment.
No.
Mace was one of the lucky ones. And Lee County confiscated that rescue, shut them down, and then they called our microchip and was like, hey, we have your dog, 9 years later. And it's in contract that they have to bring the dogs back to us.
Right.
But sometimes people are so lazy, they don't want to do the 3-hour drive, so they'll drop it off at a shelter or a different animal rescue, and any reputable animal rescue would scan a microchip, so clearly that rescue was not reputable, and they got shut down, so...
I find it very hard for someone to say, I'm just going to dispose of...
Happens all the time, sadly, you know? and these backyard breeders keep breeding.
Uh-huh.
And I do think, you know, people that dispose their dogs should be on a branded adoption list from the local counties. But sadly, they'll adopt out someone who surrendered a dog.
I've never surrendered a dog, so I wouldn't know. But do they go on a list?
Like, for the euthanization list?
No. If you surrender your dog, they don't go on a list? Like, they don't have a database?
Nope, they don't. They don't. Yeah, so someone who surrendered a dog can trade in their cedar dog and adopt a puppy. And it happens. It sadly happens. It's sick. Absolutely sick.
Or like a sick dog, I'm sure.
Yep. But, you know, there's, like, cost to health. There's other organizations that can help you if you can't financially afford food anymore or anything like that. There's these outlets and there's shot clinics that are cheaper than an actual vet. And it's just pure laziness if someone wants to give up a dog.
Right. Yeah.
There's a million excuses, but there's also a million other things you could do to keep your dog.
Exactly.
Joanna is amazing. I would trust her to foster any dog. Teddy's a huge dog. He had a little bit of food possession. Yeah. She has worked so well with him.
No, and you see a change. And that's the thing.
Absolutely. Time, patience, and work.
Exactly.
A dog can be a completely different dog. And a dog is not too old to start training, no matter how old they are. And huskies as well. A lot of people ask me, do they get calmer with age? I have a 9-year-old that's a nutso. You would think she's 2 years old. I run her 3 miles every day. No, they don't get calmer with age. If you get a mix, they can be. I would say the mixes have that other qualities from whatever they're mixed with. And it will definitely like wow people when they get a pure Siberian versus over a mix, because the mixes, they listen a little bit more, they have recall, they probably can be trained off leash, whereas huskies were bred to mush sleds and they were actually bred to disobey the musher because their natural instincts would come in. So that's why they're a lot very stubborn dogs.
So do you have a question for the audience that you would want them to think about or them to answer?
My question would be, do you do any research before, you know, choosing a breed? What makes you want this breed? Does this breed match your lifestyle? Those are the things you need to be looking into.
And the drive.
Yeah.
I think the drive is something that, unless you're not, I feel like you have to be a dog person to understand drive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many trainers that'll help too. There's YouTube if you can't afford a trainer. I mean, there's so many outlets people can use. If they need that help, there's Facebook groups that are people, you know, ask for advice all the time. So I think a lot of people realize there's a lot bigger of a community than you think. This guy was pulled from Palm Beach Animal Control, and we pulled the dog that was surrendered with him, female Akira, and just like we thought, they were used for breeding. Akira's adopter foster failed a DNA test. We found 30 puppies in the Jupiter Palm Beach Gardens area, and I thought it was very strange because we took them and they didn't know how to play with other dogs, but they were living together. And I'm like, this is very odd to me if they don't know how to play, but used for breeding and then dumped when they were done.
How could you be, because you're so smiley with me, you know, you're like very...
I definitely am emotionally drained.
Right.
So many times. Because also rescue, you don't realize if you don't answer the phone or you're unavailable one day, the dog's put to sleep, it's too late. Or Miami-Dade would call us and be like, hey, this dog's maybe put to sleep at the end of the day. We're all the way in Jupiter, it's an hour and a half. They email us at 3:00. We just pick the dog up at 4:00. I would say what keeps me going is the happy tales, seeing dogs transform from abuse, neglect, skittish, to getting those perfect forever homes. A lot of our adopters stay in contact with us. I obviously do follow-ups. Hey, how are these dogs doing? They'll come into our events and support us. So when you see them, a dog that was going to be put to sleep, living their best life and having this transformation, it's what keeps me going.
I don't know how you could do it, really.
It is mostly draining. Definitely takes a toll on my mental health. You know, I'll be out to dinner, I'm getting blown up, and, you know, it's not really appropriate. Sometimes my family's visiting in town. Sometimes my husband's like, really? You're still doing rescue stuff? We're out to dinner, 8:00 at night. But, you know, it never stops. You get phone calls, texts all the time. I'm really dedicated to it. I have a really big passion. I've always loved animals. I almost majored in zoology, didn't work out. So I did PR, went to public relations, and I started volunteering when I was in college. And I had my dogs now from this rescue for 8 years. So I've been involved now 8 years. One thing that really keeps me going is my fosters, my volunteers, and the support I have through the rescue. There's so many days I feel like giving up, but there's all these people that have my back or behind me. If I can't do a transport, there's 10 other volunteers that will jump at the opportunity. If I personally can't foster a dog at the moment, other people will say they can. So it's really like volunteers, fosters, and support, and the community support is everything. So
you're doing an awesome job.
One of my dogs was turned 5 times. One of my tall dogs was turned 2 times. Yep. So they go through a lot. And, you know, my alpha definitely, you know, I had to do a lot of behavioral training with her. She was dog aggressive after being returned 5 times because the dogs attacked her in the household. Now, you know, I fostered 15 dogs in my house with an alpha female. So I like to tell everyone, it can be done. If you have a difficult dog, you go through the training, it can be done. Don't give up on them. Please follow us on social media. Share our posts. You have no idea. Just sharing one post can get a dog to find the forever home.
Yeah.
So, if you have never been involved in animal rescue, volunteer for one. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
I've met countless dogs throughout the rescue, and each of them have imprinted my heart, and no two are the same. No two huskies are the same.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. Please hit the subscribe button if you liked us, and it would be even better if you would leave us a review. See you next Wednesday.